So I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict.
Hi, Chris.
And I volunteered to talk about my experience with asking someone to be my sponsor. And I've been in the program a little over 3 years. And before I even walked into these rooms, I had looked it up on the internet and decided this was something I needed to give a chance, you know, because I needed some accountability. And I talked with someone who knew something about 12 steps, and she said something to me that was really helpful. And she said, there's no perfect meeting, there's no perfect sponsor, and get a sponsor in 30 days. So I did that, and in the very beginning, I went to one meeting a day for about a week and checked out the different meetings and which ones fit for me. And then within 30 days, I found somebody who had what I wanted, and I asked them if they would be my sponsor. And it was really nervous-making to ask. This person back then wasn't able to stay for the entire meeting, and I didn't quite realize that because I would look around the room and they would be gone. So for a couple of weeks, I was like, well, I'm going to go talk to that person. And I look around, and they wouldn't be there at the end of the meeting. It's like, oh, well, what does this mean? And so at this one meeting, I saw them get up and leave. And so I popped up and went out in the hall and said, you know, would you be my sponsor? And that worked out really good for me for a while. This person was really laid back, and they had really clear boundaries, which I liked. But they had time boundaries, and they could meet, you know, be in contact once a week. And they were really kind of mellow. They supported me with the steps, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want anybody telling me too much about food, because I needed to sort through that for a while on my own. And so we went through the steps, and when I got stuck on a step, I stopped emailing my sponsor, and I didn't hear from them because they were that laid back, and that worked for me at that time. So then once I got unstuck, I would email them back and ask them if they would, you know, take me back and if I could still be, they would still be my sponsor, and they always did. And then after a couple years in the program, I decided I needed something more than that, and I emailed that first sponsor and told her how grateful I was for all of her support and all of her help, and that I felt ready to work with somebody who would do more contact with me and more hands-on. And she, you know, said goodbye to me with her blessings, and I found another sponsor. And that sponsor I wanted something a little bit different than that sponsor was comfortable doing, but we decided to go ahead and focus on, I wanted someone who would keep me more accountable for the food. The moment I walked into these doors, I gave up my 5 binge foods, and that was really helpful and really important to me. But I still felt like I needed some different accountability with the food and looking at the food and just exploring if there were other things that weren't good for me. And the amounts were creeping back up, and my weight was creeping back on. So I wanted that. And so I would meet with the sponsor, and I realized that it wasn't quite working for me, and I may not have been really clear on what I wanted around the food. And since they weren't that comfortable with the food piece, they would have preferred being a step sponsor. Didn't quite jive, but it was a learning experience, I think, for both of us. And then for personal reasons, she decided she couldn't sponsor anymore. So I was without a sponsor. And she did it very, I appreciate how she ended that relationship. She met with me and she told me what was going on for her and why she felt she couldn't sponsor, and offered me some information on finding sponsors, and so that felt really good. But I was without a sponsor for about 4 months, and the amounts started coming back, and I got to this point where I really binged on some food, And I got up on my regular meeting morning, and for the first time, I didn't want to go to the meeting. And that scared me, and I came in and I shared. And after the meeting, someone came up to me and said, "So, got a sponsor?" And I was like, "No, not right now." It's like, well, you know, because that's what a sponsor does for me, you know, is keeps me focused on the program and keeps me abstinent. And so I went back to going to one meeting a week, and I found a temporary sponsor who just had the format that worked for me, and through that sponsor found my current sponsor that is just, I'm ready for what this person is offering me, and it's been really helpful, and I feel like I have a whole new level of understanding about food and about my abstinence and just the level of accountability, and we talk once a day, and that's just been really helpful for me. So in 3 years, I've had 4 sponsors, and they've all given me different things, and I let one of them go, and one let me go because of what they were going on, and it just keeps getting better and better for me. So I really appreciate this program and what all my sponsors have done, you know, given to me, and the support, and thank you very much.
Andy will now share for the next 15 to 20 minutes.
Hi, I'm Ann Gray, recovering binge addict.
Hi.
I've been here forever, and I keep coming back because this program works. I knew I was there was something wrong with me and food early on because I loved it way too much and I couldn't stop and all that stuff, and I thought I was the only crazy person. In 1973, I found an article in the paper about, and that was about the time I was really losing the control and the addiction part had taken over. And they talked about a day-long marathon, something like this, only all day long, about for people that needed to help, you know, an organization called Overeaters Anonymous. And it was only about 5 years old in Denver at the time. I think it had been around for about 10 years in other parts of the country. But here it was so new, and I came in and I thought, after a whole day of being steeped in what the old-timers had said, I thought, this is it, I'm home. I left for 2 weeks after I thought I had it all hooked together, and 5 months later, in 44 pounds, I knew that the only place I'd ever found the hope was here, and I came back, and I gave myself to this simple program. I'd been fat at, and all of a sudden I was skinny in. I got a sponsor, I worked the program, and da 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 da. And then I hit the rebellion phase, which we can all go through. And I said, who says I have to, I'll show you. And my sponsor had the nerve to move out of town. I thought, well, there's nobody else can sponsor me. And I said, I can do this on my own. And I left, and I got my very sickest. And then I came back in one more time. I thought, will they welcome me back? And sure enough, back I came. They welcomed me one more time. One more time I gave myself to this simple program. My sponsor had the grace to move back to town, and and I got a sponsor again. But I also realized over the years that anyone can sponsor me. The connection between sponsorship, for me, is being there for each other. Yes, some of us that have been around have a little more experience, and yes, we've found what does and doesn't work, or if not, we're still seeking or we wouldn't be here. You know, those of us that are long-timers have found a workable way, or else we're still working on our workable way. And, you know, being able to share that with someone else makes it more than just, you know, that helps me keep my abstinence, because for me, abstinence has been such an iffy thing. I'm a Skid Row binger, and it's been so hard to find an abstinence that would stay. Yes, I've tried to get rid of my trigger foods. Yes, I don't eat them. And I'd still get snagged. But that comes in the step work of finding, going deeper and deeper and deeper into finding what works and what doesn't work. And for that, we can be here for each other. Today's reading in this Voices of Recovery, which I love, I don't know if any of you read that, but it really hit home today. What we do have to offer, far greater than any of these things, is a fellowship in which we find and share the healing power of love. And that's what sponsorship is. Who or what is this power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity? If it's simply God, why haven't we been able to pray and have our compulsion to overeat removed and our sanity restored? Why is it necessary to attend OA? Surely part of that answer is the word fellowship. In the OA fellowship, face to face with others who have shared our suffering, we found the power we need to recover. OA is where other people love us until we can learn to love ourselves. OA is where we are buoyed by the shared experience, strength, and hope of other compulsive overeaters. OA is where we can give this supportive love to others who suffer from this disease. Such giving is essential to our own recovery. Solitary reflection, prayer, meditation, reliance on God, all of these are vital to us, but so is the OA fellowship, where we find God with skin on at every meeting. Okay, in the name of us being there for each other, about a month ago, this meeting started talking about sponsorship, and I started mulling it over. And one night in the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., HP woke me up, and these ideas just started pouring in. And I thought, wait a minute, wait till morning. Wouldn't wait. I finally got up at 4 a.m. and started writing all this down and praying and meditating on it, and the upshot of it is the Abstinence Buddy Connection, ABC, simple as ABC. And this is a way to get started in being there for one another. Many of us do have a sponsor and reach out to each other. Many people, you know, don't need to call their food in on a daily basis, but this is a starting point right here. And what we do, if you're willing to participate in it, there again, it's totally voluntary. When the basket comes around, you take a slip of paper, write on it your name, your phone number, your email address if you'd like to, and the time of day that you would be there for another person. Give them a range, give them a time. Put your name back in the little basket, and when it comes around again, you draw out another name. HP makes the connections, and that will be each other's abstinent buddy connection for the week. We're on equal footing. And what by phoning our food plan for the day, and each person picks their own food plan, nobody has to tell us how to eat. We know at that honor level when we're doing something we should or we shouldn't. Nobody has to tell us. We're our own harshest critics. At least I am, and I bet you are too. So we know when we're sticking to something that is sane. And you know, that's what abstinence is supposed to do, and this whole program is supposed to restore us to sanity. So what does a sane eating plan look like for you? Write it down. You're not going to do it every day the rest of your life. You'll do it one day at a time. Just for today, just for 1 week, we go around and we draw out a name and we report our plan of eating for that day. It can be as simple as, I won't eat thus and thus and thus. Or this is, you know, X many noodles a day, you know, whatever works for you. Just get the sense of it, pray about it, you know, meditate on it. What can I stick to for this week? And even if you don't need to phone your food in to hold your abstinence, look what you're doing for the other person on the other line. You're allowing them, by phoning it in, to be there for you. You're allowing them to sponsor you. And when they call you, all you have to do is hold the loving space. Be a listening ear. Be a buddy. Be a friend. You know, are you willing to take that time to listen to someone else commit their food? In making that phone call, and I still phone my food in every day because my disease is too clever. You know, I'll hear it whisper, you didn't say you wouldn't eat this. Or you didn't say you'd stick within this parameter. And unless I do that and commit it to another person, it won't hold for me. It just simply won't hold. And when I don't believe that I can do this on my own, all I have to do is pick up that phone and make the commitment to the other person. Higher power then makes that connection that holds me and gives me what I need to stick to it for the day. I am held in place by my connection. It's like HP puts a little spiritual fence around our food for the day. if I'm willing to stick within this sanity, this same place for the day, HP gives me what I need to stay there. And it works every time. And if the connection starts getting loose, you know, if I jerked it out or, you know, started diddling with it during the day, if I can get myself to the phone and recommit, okay, I'm getting crazy, you know. I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do this, or I will do this. I, you know, I put parameters around it, and HP holds me to it. Me making a phone call every day is like an automatic step 1, 2, 3. I can't do this on my own. I need the help. I reach out, and the help is there. It's the buddy connection. We're on equal footing. I've been around for 37 years. I don't care if you've been around 2 days. If I'm willing to reach out and make that connection with you, it'll hold me in place. And here's the magic words that my sponsees and I say to each other for the day. I'll abstain if you'll abstain. And it makes that connection and it holds us in place. So I'm asking you to participate for 1 week in this experiment. I got all sorts of nice little papers here that you can write your phone numbers on. And, you know, and if you're willing to do that for a week, and if you also, there's a little book in here, and I'm going to be the follow-up person. If you would put the same information you put on the little sheet of paper, then I will call you sometime, you know, during the last part of the week or after the next week to see, you know, how did it work for you? Do you like it? If you do like it, are you willing to take it to your home meetings and get an abstinence buddy connection going at your own meetings? Try it. You know, what do we have to lose except some insanity? You know, the 12th step is about service work. Think what tremendous service work you're doing by not only being here. Every time we show up for each other in any way, shape, or form, we are doing service. We're giving back what we have been so freely given. And I know to the depths of my soul that I would not be alive today if it weren't for OA and the people in it and all the people that have been there for me. And when I'd fall off the abstinence wagon, would just love me back and say, come on, try it one more time, one more time, one more time. Just get up. Try it one more time. We never start over. All the experience, even in falling off the abstinence wagon, is something we can learn from. And, you know, mistakes are just success in work clothes. That's all they are. You know, we're here working on this, and it's an ongoing process, you know. And, you know, I've left several times, but I keep getting drawn back because I heard in a meeting a few weeks ago, OA can become a calling. And I thought, yeah, that's what it's become for me. I don't want to just, you know, abstain for myself. I want to abstain. If my abstaining on a daily basis can help anyone else abstain, then by golly, it's worth it. I may not be worth my own efforts, but you're worth my efforts. You know, I'll abstain if you'll abstain. Thanks.
Thank you.